Hi, Grace.
Hi, Eric.
It looks like you have something to say. What do you want to say?
I wanted to say hi. I want to say hi. I want to say I miss you. It's been a whole week since I've seen your face, and I'm super excited to see your face.
Let me show you my. I haven't shown you this before. This is a gift from my
Ooh.
youngest daughter. So, my trail nickname back in the day, no one ever called it. Called me it, but Adam Cole gave me the trail nickname Maverick because I was fast. So
Yeah.
she got me a
You
Top Gun mug that says
because
Maverick.
you are fast.
Yeah. But anyway, enough about me. You have a duck on your head, and I want to find out why.
I have a duck on my head. I also have a great mug. This is mug number six from completing the Algonquin 50K, which I just did on Saturday. I'm super excited.
I have some off the script quizzing for you now that I'm looking at
Oh,
that duck on your head. Are
yeah.
you familiar? Are you familiar with ducks?
I mean, I've seen them once or twice in the wild.
Do you know what a merganser is?
No.
Well, a merganser is a diving bird that's often confused as a duck, but it's not a duck.
Oh, okay.
They dive for their food, but
Have
obviously,
you ever
go.
heard of loon?
Yeah. They go, wah! Or something like that.
Don't ever do that again. No,
Right.
my grandpa collected loons,
Oh, yeah. We
and
saw loons are in Maine. They take boats out to see them. Yeah.
yeah, they're amazing. Well, in Michigan, loons are fairly common, and my dad's side of the family is from Traverse City, Michigan, and the loons are common there. And my grandpa was a big fan of loons, and this was one of his loons. He's passed away now, so. But you love loons. They're
That's
very
awesome.
neat to listen to. Yeah.
I enjoy Looney Tunes.
You
Is that
are a Looney Tune.
all right. This is.
Becky? Did Becky laugh at my joke?
Yeah, she's in the other room giggling at your little
Yes.
dumb joke. It was my joke.
Yeah, but I made it better.
All right. So. We're at 102. There's a lot to do. The rhymes with two run through and through. So it was easy for me to. I got no rhyme for that. So you ready to start the show? All
Yeah, I'm ready.
right. Here we go. Grace. You have had a big year and have run some long distance runs and races like you have nothing better to do. Let's talk about what you did this past weekend on episode 102.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Before we get started talking about Grace and how her weekend was, rah, rah, rah. Let me see. Wait. Thursday is Valentine's Day. I think.
Okay. Are you sure about that? 'Cause I think it's Friday.
Okay, Friday is Valentine's Day.
Guess
Grace.
you don't have plans, do you?
Wait, I messed the joke up already. I was supposed to say, Grace, ask me if I have a date for Valentine's Day.
Do you have a date for Valentine's Day?
Yes, it's February 14th.
Good job.
Oh, wow. I really screwed that one up. God. All right. No, in all seriousness, it's February. It's been February since last show, but
yeah,
we're deep into it now. So the jokes were February based. Trace, this is serious business. Did you know that February is Humpback Whale Awareness Month?
I did not.
I'm not sure if I will celebrate, but I will let you know.
Oh my gosh. Great. Good.
All right. That's all I got. I mean, I hope I made everybody laugh.
Yeah, I think you did. I don't know if they laughed in the way that you intended them to laugh.
Are you insinuating that they're laughing at me and
nothing?
Not,
I'm not such a thing, sir.
Well, that's okay.
Hey,
what?
Wait, guess what's going to happen on Valentine's Day?
The time changes, I hope.
No, that's not happening yet.
Well, that's Friday.
That's next.
I don't know. What happens on Friday?
On Friday, Valentine's Day, registration opens for Slopeside Slumber Party. Wow. I'm super excited.
I saw that today, and I was supposed to write it down and be excited about it because that's your race. It's getting big.
Yeah.
It's on a ski slope. It's a good time of year.
Mm-hmm.
All the people go to it, and everybody should sign up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a race that everybody can enjoy. I was, when I was in the hotel at this past weekend, because I got a hotel for a couple of nights for this race that I just did. And I was in the elevator and this guy was like, hey, I know you. And I never know what people know me from, because they might know me from the podcast, right? And he's like, he said, you race direct Slopeside. And I said, yeah, I'm the race director for Slopeside. He's like, I did that race last year. It's brutal. But I think because it's a timed race, it's a 3-hour race, you know, you can take your time with it and have a good time. But you, if you would like a challenging race, you can also make it very challenging. And that makes it a great race for everybody. So registration opens on Friday. And if you are interested in a fun, challenging race, I hope you sign up.
Yeah, and it's Valentine's Day, so instead of getting your significant other some flowers that are going to die within a day, get them something that'll last a get them something that'll last a week. The pain in their quads from going up and down a ski slope.
Yeah. It's definitely the quad pain that lasts the longest.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's cool that it opens on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. You say Valentine's or Valentine's?
Oh, it's an N. N is.
I know what it is, but there's a lot of people out there that say Valentine's.
Well, that's okay. You know, there's enough space for all the pronunciations to happen, and it's what makes life fun.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so. Let's see. What did Grace do this past weekend? It is Monday. Yesterday was Sunday. Mm-hmm. The day before that was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take her back to Friday
in
the world of Grace and bring us to it.
Rewind. Beep. Back it on up. Back it up. Back
beep,
it up.
Beep. Beep.
We're backing up all the way to Friday. Friday, actually, back it up to Thursday, because Thursday I received an email from the race dictator, Gabe, that said, hey, packet pickup has changed and we're now going to do it Friday at 5 p.m. and 6:45 p.m. at a totally different location in a totally different city. So we got new instructions, and it wasn't that far away. It was only like 20 minutes away. I think that was intentional because Gabe likes to keep it a secret. And then on Friday, I went to Packet Pickup, which was in Snow Hill, Maryland. And that is when we were given our instructions, which was to be outside by 7 p.m. to get on the shuttle. And we were going to get on the shuttle. Do you think they told us where we were going on the shuttle? Absolutely.
Great.
not.
I bet they didn't tell you where you were going on the shuttle.
They did not. They said, no, we're not going to tell you where we're going. They piled us into three shuttles and said we could bring a drop bag if we wanted, but we wouldn't get it back until Saturday afternoon. And they piled us into shuttles, and then they took us to the start line. So I ran what's called the Duck 100K. It's called the Duck because it's DUC, the Delmarva Ultra Challenge. And the challenge begins with a 50K at a mystery location somewhere in the Delmarva Peninsula. And every year, you never know where you're going to go. You just know that it's going to be a 50K. And you're probably going to have 8 or 9 hours to finish it, depending on what Gabe decides that year.
So how many times have you run this race, this first part?
I have attempted the first part. This was the fifth attempt.
And have you been back to, has he started at any one spot in those five that you've been to? The same spot?
Never the same spot.
So he doesn't even rotate them in.
No. And it's different formats too. The first, I've always finished the first half. So the first year it was a 4-ish mile loop that we did five times.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the next year it was a squirrely all over the place course. The next year we ran, and then we did a bunch of squirrely stuff, and then we stopped, and then we needed a shuttle for the return.
Recognized any parts?
No. And I'm not familiar with the Delmarva Peninsula or any of the trails down there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So first half is a mystery location, mystery start time. You don't know what the start time is going to be until you get to packet pickup, or you get a text, or you get an email. It changes every year slightly. So we didn't know until we shuttled to our start point. And then he said, okay, it was 8:15 PM. And he's like, okay, the race is going to start at 9 and you have 8 hours.
Right.
And then he told us, here's your starting point, follow the signs. And he told us what the signs looked like and everything, but we really didn't know where we were going to go.
The signs that he put up, like race signs?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So what was the course like this year then? Was it loopy?
My gosh. So it was a point to point. It was very cool. It was very difficult. So it was a point to point course. He dropped us off in Rehoboth Beach, in the town of Rehoboth. So it's like we started right outside a bar, and all the patrons of this bar probably thought we were crazy. He definitely coordinated with the bar. Like they knew we were going to be there. So we started right outside of this bar in Rehoboth, and he had signs that took us on a course all the way to Ocean City, Maryland. So we spent some time, part of the course just went next to the ocean. So we were, if you were fast enough, you could spend a lot of time on hard pack sand, but we all know where I am in the pack, and I am not fast enough. So I spent a lot of time in soft pack sand, and it was super fun.
So what was the elevation gain for this first 50K?
Oh my gosh. I think it was maybe 300 feet. Yeah, it was about 300 feet. And I think that was like going up and down curbs.
Yeah,
that was pretty. Oh, there was one point at which we, one of the aid stations, like right before the aid station, we had to go up and down a parking garage. And then the aid station itself was inside of the hotel. So we went inside a hotel for this aid station. So up and down the parking garage, I think that was most of the elevation gain. But we were in soft, at least myself, like I was in soft sand for probably 12 miles of it. That is not fun. Not at all. But like, it was crazy. I say it's not fun. Like it wasn't easy. That's what I mean. It was actually a lot of fun because we had clear skies. and the moon was out and I could see the stars and I had the ocean next to me. It was just a really cool course. We went through this one park. We were out on the street. We were in a hotel. One of the aid stations was at somebody's house. It was just a really cool experience, a cool course, and then finished on the boardwalk in Ocean City, Maryland. So it was like a very cool experience, but it was a grind for those last miles when I was in deep sand. You know what I mean?
So how many people started this race?
I want to say 28. I think it's limited to 30. And I think they had a couple last minute, unfortunate cancellations. It was things out of people's control. But it's usually limited to 30 people.
Just this first 50K, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just for the first half of the 100K. So the first half is a small group of people. And which is cool, you know, I spent a little bit of time with some people on the course, but for the most part, I was just by myself running in the sand, which was, that was pretty neat, you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
So you get done, you completed the 50K, Sandy 50K.
Yep.
And I always forget what happened. Like, how long of a break do you have?
Yeah, so completed the Sandy 50K, and that first half it's no crew, no pacers. It's pretty limited to support. The aid stations were 7-8 miles apart, so there weren't a lot of them. So the challenge is that you're really out there by yourself at night. So started at 9 p.m., and then the second 50K begins at 7:30 in the morning, and it's at a different location. And we had to get shuttled back to our cars. Our cars were about 45 minutes away. So it kind of depended on how fast you finish. You finish faster, you have a big break in between. You finish later, you don't have so much of a break in between. I was the last one to finish the first half. And I think I was the last to finish both halves. But your placing is determined by the cumulative time. So I was the last one to finish. I didn't get to the beginning of the second half until 6 a.m. And the race started at 7:30 a.m. So I took a 30-minute cat nap in my car and then started to kind of slowly get myself ready, eat some food, take a caffeine pill really quick, get myself re-lubed up, changed all my clothes. Because it's cold out, you know, it's February. It was in the low to mid 30s. So it was really, you know, the smartest thing is to change your entire clothing, which is interesting because if you're doing 100K straight through, you wouldn't really change your clothes. You know, even mid 30s, there's no need to do that. But because it's two 50Ks that are split with an hour and a half, you know, some people finish the first half in 5 hours. So they had plenty of time in between. It really makes the most sense for you to change your entire getup, your socks, you know, everything. Otherwise, you're wet and you just get cold in between. And so you're starting the second half cold. So, yeah, it's a race that has just some unique challenges because of this break in between the two. And it's cold when you're doing it. So the second half has, I think there were 280 people starting the second half. And so you get lumped in with a bunch of people who are fresh as a daisy and just ready to run their little hearts out. And you're exhausted and stiff. You know, you start to stiffen up when you're just sitting there for an hour and a half. And but it's cool. You have like we had different bibs, like our bibs are black and everybody else had these colorful bibs. So everybody knows that you're a duck. And most people who run the second half of the race, like they know that the Ducks ran a 50K the night before. So everybody cheers for you. And there's certain sections on the second half where you're running and you have opposing traffic. It's kind of like a modified lollipop. So you do see some opposing traffic. And people cheer for you and they say, go duck, go. And that it's just such a cool, cool atmosphere in the second half. There's so much crowd support. And the second half has an 8-hour cutoff. And you got to be done within those 8 hours. If you banked, like, you can't bank time in the first half of the 50K. If you get done in 5 hours in the first half, but it takes you 8.5 in the second half, you're a DNF. So you don't get any of that time. You have to finish the second half within 8 hours. And that had, I think the second half has like 400 feet of elevation gain. And it's sandy. And it was, this year it was a very dry course, but it rained most of the time. So I had rain to deal with. But the aid stations are just amazing. And they're between 3.5. I think the largest distance is 6 miles apart. So they're pretty frequent. And there's a lot of people out there, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the second half was a good experience for you? Like, did you have any bad spots?
It was hard because I, you know, going into this, I wasn't exactly well rested. You know, I had Bandera 100K just a few weeks ago. And then, of course, did 20 miles up at the Idiot course. And then the 25K at Frozen Snot just last weekend. So my hamstrings were already tired and sore going into this. And it was really, really difficult to move fast enough to hit the cutoffs. But I just kept pushing and kept pushing. And there were a lot of people who helped me along the way. So I finished the first half. And let me go back in time. I finished the first half and I told Gabe, the race director, he shuttled me back to my car because I was the last one. And I told him, I was like, you know, I'm pretty beat up. I can barely run a 16-minute mile right now. I need to run a 14:30 to finish the second half in time. I said, there's no way I'm going to do it. I'm pretty beat up, so I don't think I'm going to start. And I had it in my head that I was not going to start the second half. Like, I was done. I did the first half. I felt good about it. I had a cool experience. Like, I've finished 100K before. Like, I'm done. I'm good. And so I told Gabe, I was like, I'm like 90% sure I'm not even going to try. And so I went to the start of the second half. And he's like, well, you know, just take it one step at a time. I'm like, all right, well, I'll drive there and then we'll see what happens. So I drove there, did my 30-minute nap, and then I got out of the car and I got in line for the porta potty. And Michael was there, Michael Wilson, he's a friend of mine. And he's like, oh, you're doing it. You're doing it. Just go to the start line. Just go to the start line. Just do it. And he really encouraged me. But I had it in my head that I wasn't going to do it. So that was the biggest challenge. And, but then I kind of sucked it up and put on all my things and I thought, well, I'll just do as many miles as I can until they kick me off the course because I'm too slow. But I hung on to, there were two guys in front of me and they were just chit chatting and I just decided to hang on to them as much as I could. And, I was doing some like 12 minute miles, and I was like, okay, well, the legs are working again. I guess eating all that food probably helped. So let me just see how long I can ride this out. And I kept seeing friends along the way and they were cheering me on. And Marianne, shout out to her. She is the now the oldest female finisher of the Duck 100K, but she was cheering me on. And I hung on to later in the race when I was really needed to push, I hung on to this guy named Matt. It was his first 50K. So it, like, the second half, the whole time, I felt like I had to actually push my legs into the sand to get myself to move fast enough to meet the cutoffs. And I came in 7 hours, 50 minutes. So just 10 minutes before the cutoff.
Nice. Was there anybody behind you?
There were, that race notoriously has there were some DNFs, like there were people who came in after the cutoff and that always happens. But that race notoriously has people coming in like at 7 hours, 59 minutes and like 38 seconds, you know, they come in right up against that cutoff. So coming into the finish, there were probably 10, 15 people behind me that met the cutoff. And then there were probably 15 people behind them who did not meet the cutoff, but they still came into the finish. And then there are people behind them who got cut at the aid stations. So that happens every year.
Right.
Yeah. So I was not last for the 50K, but I was last for the 100K. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Yeah. So I was super proud of myself because one, I went in with tired legs. I pushed and forced myself to start, even when in my brain said, there's no way you're going to finish this, but I started anyway. And this was the first time I did the Duck 100K with no support. So I had no crew, no friend who, like Heidi, who's just awesome. Last year, she ran the whole second half with me. I didn't have that this year. So I didn't have crew. I didn't have somebody running with me. There were people who I ran with a little bit, but it was like strangers, you know?
Right.
So I didn't have any of that, and mentally I still pushed through, and that's always been a challenge for me to mentally push through, especially in the back of the pack where I think you just kind of settle into accepting, that sometimes I'm going to finish and sometimes I'm not, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with not finishing. Like, you got to tell yourself that's okay. Otherwise you beat yourself up, and that's mean. But the danger of doing that, of telling yourself that it's okay to DNF, is that sometimes, you know, you put yourself at risk of DNFing when you don't need to. And so I was really happy that I didn't listen to myself. Sometimes your head lies to you and you got to not listen.
Yeah, lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
So are you happy with... Are you now done with this race? Are we coming back next year yet again, or what?
Oh, I feel good about it this year. Like, the first time that I finished it, it was like perfect conditions and everything was like, the conditions were like, it was like mid 60s, low 60s weather, and hardly any, there was no rain, there was no water, there's no sand. Like, it was really great conditions the first time I finished. The second time I finished, I had the amazing Kate crewing me and Heidi pacing me for the whole second half. This time I had tough conditions, no crew, no pacers, and I feel completely fulfilled and satisfied. So I'm done.
Good.
I'm done.
That's a good feeling to have.
It is a good feeling.
Check the box off. And now you have this time period next year to maybe focus on a different goal or just.
That's right. That's right. And Jake just chimed in on the chat. I was so excited to see Jake run this. Jake Landon, he's awesome. He had just chimed in on the chat. He said, I felt exactly the same way before I started the second half. I thought I wouldn't even start. So I think that's it. That's another hard thing about this race is you have this opportunity to just not start the second half.
Yeah. No, so, like you said, everything seizes up and your body thinks it's in rest mode after the first part. And then you have to restart it.
Yeah. And, you know, this year, it's just been a cool experience with several races, you know, starting with Bandera. It was an aggressive race schedule, but I think that I handled it well and recovered. Like, I took my recovery very seriously in between these races, and I think that's important. And so doing back-to-back-to-back races like this, I knew there was a good chance that I might DNF one of them, but I'm super excited that I didn't. I feel completely fulfilled. And like you said, next year, like, there's other cool races around this time of year. The Twat was also this past weekend, and Mount Tom was this past weekend, which you, sir, got to run, and I did not, because it's the same weekend. So I'm excited next year to have a completely different race schedule and take on completely different challenges, because I feel like I'm good. I don't need to do Bandera again. I don't need to do Duck again. I don't need to, although they're great races. I encourage anybody else to do them, but like I'm good. I feel good.
Good.
Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, and your year is not just starting. You still have some big stuff out there to prepare for.
Yeah, but I love doing big stuff at the beginning of the year like this because you can kind of feel accomplished really early on. and then it gives you this nice little confidence boost later on. You've got the same year happening, you know. You had your big win last weekend and then Mount Tom went well, right?
Yeah, I mean, my stuff's on a little smaller scale than your 50 milers and 50 Ks right now. I like the anticipation of the bigger races being later in the season a lot too. I can see it both ways, I guess. It definitely is confidence booster when you do good at some things early in the year. But yeah, I like having stuff to look out to and, know that I have to stay accountable to train for them type of thing. But yeah, I mean, Mount Tom Trail Challenge, that's exactly what it is. It's not a race. It's just a challenge. It was designed to get people outside and do something they normally wouldn't do to push themselves a little bit, whether it's your first time on the mountain or you've done it many times. It's not, not treated as a race per se.
Yeah. But that's a cool challenge.
It's a hard challenge, yeah. But yeah, it was a fun day. We got a little snow Saturday night beforehand, which kind of made it what the event's supposed to be, you know, more challenging the better.
Yep.
But yeah, it was coming off of snot last weekend. Yeah, I don't really know what happened yesterday, but I will take the feeling that I had, and I'll wrap it up into a little ball in my hand and put it right in my pocket and just keep moving forward with that.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm feeling. I'm like, you know what? Things happen to work out this time. It doesn't always work out that way. So you just kind of wrap it up and put it away and feel good about it, but, you know, doesn't mean it's always going to work out. That's okay.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And gives you good vibes and good things to think about through the weeks ahead. And like you said, it gives you extra boost for your training the rest of the year for big things that are ahead. So
yeah,
you're excited. I'm excited. It's going to be a good 2025, Grace.
Oh my gosh, it is. So one of the things that I was thinking about, because you did back-to-back very big challenges.
High elevation short mile challenges, but yeah.
Yeah, and fast. Yeah. You know, it's you definitely were not lollygagging, you know?
No, I try to not lollygag if I don't have to.
No.
I like the lollygag. I really love lollygagging, but if I don't have to, I won't.
That's right. So love the lollygags. But not on challenge day, not on race day, none of them lollygags.
No.
So short, lots of vert, but no lollygags. And so, and I also did a few challenges kind of back to back to back. I don't know that I recommend it to people necessarily. I think it's also very smart to just pick one or two races out of the year that you're really going to focus on. But if you are going to do big challenges that are close in proximity, in time, what are the things that you do to make sure that you're not overworked or injured or anything like that? Like, what do you do in between races to kind of take care of yourself?
What do I say you should do, or what did I do?
Let's do both. Let's do the former first.
Oh my gosh. I think rest is very, very important. And when I say rest, I'm talking sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep alone. We all have to work, sadly. Those that don't, my hat's off to you. Good for you. I'm jealous. I wish I didn't have to. But, you know, we all have jobs, families, and responsibilities. But I truly think, and this is going from my own personal experience within the past couple months and before that, but yeah, if you can get to bed and you can get the, let's just say 6 to 8 hours of sleep, mm-hmm. everybody's different. I truly believe I'm more of a, I need longer hours, but I'm not one to sleep in or either. So I'm forced, right. I say forced, I'm ready to go to bed very early in the evening, and I'm up super bright and early before most people, but that's just what works for me. Mm-hmm. But I still am trying to be super, super mindful of getting 7 hours of sleep at least. And I think that's crucial, especially between big races. To keep it very simple, I would say, and I tell my athletes this, and I tell myself this, just listen to your legs. If you have a run planned and you start running, you'll know within the first half mile, your legs will be talking to you and your heart rate, obviously, but your legs more than anything will tell you that, you know what, we just had a good night's sleep and we're recovered now. It's 3 days out from the race. And so let's, you know, you can pick up the pace a little bit or no, take it easy.
Yeah.
That's what I do with myself, honestly, to keep things simple. And that's what I tend to tell people. I don't get prescribed like, oh, you ran a 50K, you're going to, the next 5 days is rest and easy runs and nothing else. If you feel good, you feel good. If you don't, you don't. But that is a time period that it's okay to not feel great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that first thing is definitely rest. And I think, you know, that 6 to 8 hours, depending on the person, I hit at least 7 hours of sleep. And, you know, this race, for example, finished on a Saturday. And so what I did, I finished about 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, went back to my hotel. I slept for a little bit. I'm always kind of restless a little bit right after 100K. So I slept some, and then I got myself situated, packed up my stuff, and actually drove home. And then I slept the full night. I say a full night. I only slept maybe 5-6 hours. And then I got up right around 7 o'clock in the morning, which is not too far. Like I slept in for maybe an hour later than normal. So I didn't sleep in that much, but then during the day, I started to get a little sleepy in the afternoon and I just took a 20-minute cat nap. You know, that 20-minute nap just helps a little bit extra recovery. I think those are great if you can fit in a post long run, because we're talking about long runs too. This isn't just races, right? If you do a 20-mile long run, 25-mile long run, it's very similar to racing. So I think if you fit in that 15-20 minute cat nap and that works for you, then that's great too.
Yeah, I mean, any naps, in my opinion, count towards your daily sleep. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
And so does laying down and closing your eyes and not sleeping. Your body is still resting.
Yep, agreed. There are times where I don't think I can fall asleep, but that's okay. Even if you just lay there for a while, you're still in a rested state and it's going to help. Before I started the duck, I laid down for about 3 hours just in my hotel, and I was in and out of sleep, but still it was 3 hours of me just laying there and not really moving a whole lot. And my body is still going to use that to recharge. So right. I think sleep is a really, really good tip for people trying to do big stuff like this. What else you got? What else you tell? Oh, you talked about days off. I'm a big fan of active recovery. I'm all about active recovery, but I think that's different depending on the person. Like some people who strength train a lot already can jump back into strength training pretty quickly. If you're not strength training a lot, then that might not make sense for you. So I think it's vastly different depending on the person, how quickly they can bounce back into training. Yeah, it's definitely, I think a good like 20-minute walk the next day is pretty good for your body to just keep the joints lubricated and moving. But it doesn't have to be a power walk. It doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to be a hike or anything like that. So I think continuing to move is good, but it doesn't have to be with any sort of force until you're ready.
Yeah, we're talking about the whole spectrum of abilities and levels too. A four mile jog recovery that's considered a rest day is still a rest day if it's very, very easy and your legs want to move.
Yeah, Yeah, it's so different depending on the person. And I think, like, I remember after my first 50K, like, I needed, like, 2 months off because I did stupid things and didn't know what I was doing. And you know, now I just don't need as much recovery because that was 10 years ago and my body's more used to it by now. You know, so I think part of it is just how long have you been doing endurance type events? Doesn't have to be running, but just how long have you been doing endurance and how used to it is your body? If you're not used to it, then you might need more recovery, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's very situational. Sometimes you'll mm-hmm. do a big race for yourself and you'll need a week or two, and other times, yeah, apparently you don't need any time and you need a day off and you're back at it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Still figuring it out.
I do some other things, though. You want to hear what other things I do?
Sure.
Do you actually want to know?
Oh, I've been waiting all week. I absolutely want to know.
Gosh. You know, I think this is a great topic to talk about, recovery.
You're cutting into my sleep time that's important for my recovery.
No, this is planned time for you and I to spend together. We already figured this out every Monday.
Okay, so, go.
Compression socks, especially if you're driving home. I do compression socks post-run, not compression sleeves, say my nurse friends, because that just pushes fluid into your feet. So compression socks, I do some Icy Hot. I actually use Floyd's of Leadville, which is real similar to Icy Hot. And Epsom salt bath or Epsom salt lotion is really great. Lots of water and lots of protein.
You know, I do nothing out of that list other than the last one, which is protein. And just because you did something big doesn't mean you get to eat all the foods, even though that's what everybody says. It's very important what you put in your body for recovery mm-hmm. is good stuff. I'm learning that as I go right now, but it is true. Like, you put the garbage in, you're not gonna, even though you can have something to celebrate. I get that. But that doesn't mean you go on a 4-day splurge of eating all the stuff because you burnt the calories and you earned it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's better to focus on putting that good protein, the good carbs in your body and moving forward with that.
Yeah, I agree. And this round, especially having big races so close to each other, I was super conscious of it. And, you know, I'd have like a burger and fries after a race. But the very next meal was usually right back to what I normally eat, which is lots of good veggies and fruits and whole grains and proteins. So, you know, there's a good delicious burger is one thing, or fake burger, whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
But pretty quickly jumping straight back into a regular routine without, you know, your body doesn't, I don't think it really needs additional calories or anything like that, especially if you're fueling yourself correctly during the race. You know, it's kind of opposite to, you know, you fuel yourself every 30 minutes, then when you're done, you should be pretty much good. You don't really need extra stuff. You just need to rehydrate yourself and get some protein in to rebuild your muscles back up. But your body doesn't need those extra calories. You put in a little bit for your heart and soul, but you can jump straight back into where you were. So I agree. I don't spend 4 days eating a bunch of junk. I think that's smart.
Yeah. I don't mean 4 days. That's just, I know the feeling after I finish something big and long that I've tried, you know, worked hard for. It's like, I don't know. You want to celebrate for a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, there's lots of ways to celebrate. So I think it's also paying attention to what do you need at the moment. And sometimes what you need is a salad with some broccoli.
That's right. Yeah. Just tell yourself that you want the broccoli and you want the lettuce.
Yeah, I do. I like spinach.
Me too. Trust me, but that's a hard sell for a lot of people. Well, that's good. Congrats on that big weekend. Another big weekend, especially after Snot, big miles. And what else we got? Do we have anything to talk about? You want to talk about this coming weekend?
Oh, let's talk about this coming weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
We have plans of running the West Rim Trail, but I'm not sure. That's 30 miles. I'm not sure what's going on there, because that gets a lot of ice this time of year. Valleys don't melt. We're getting more snow this week. We're getting more snow on Saturday. So I'm not too sure. Might do a bunch of smaller stuff if that's what we decide. I'm thinking, but I don't know.
Yeah.
How about you?
I have nothing planned. I'm going to hopefully watch some race registrations come in for Slipside Summer Party. But I have zero plans, and I'm super excited about that, because it's a mystery what will happen this weekend.
It's a mystery what's going to happen?
Yeah, in that you never know. There might be some friends who have a group run, and maybe I'll just do that. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I don't have anything like solid, and I'm doing Squirrely, and not next weekend but the weekend after, which is a half marathon trail, but you know, that's more for fun with friends. So I don't have anything serious until April. I'm super excited to just kind of kick back. I'm going to do some pacing for other people and some fun stuff until then.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. Hey, before I forget, I gotta drop this here. Idiot Runner Shop will be set up at Heiner Trail Challenge.
Yay!
Yeah, I don't know how spectacular it's going to be, but darn it, there's going to be a folding table there with a dirty easy up and some Idiot Runner gear there for anybody that wants to peruse.
Yeah, and we can put some running mullet gear up there too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet. We'll have awesome. That. We'll have a separate folding table for running mullet gear.
Yeah.
It'll be good. But I'm excited. Heiner is the biggest party of the year, trail party of the year. And I'm honored to be a part of that. So,
yeah. Hey, I have a question to all those people who are listening right now.
Okay. When do you expect them to answer?
I don't know. Sometime.
Okay.
I want to answer.
Okay, go.
No, and most people will not have an answer to this, but somebody might be able to. I have a plea. I have a plea for help. That's what I have. Okay, so I went on Facebook Marketplace and I found this amazing pair of snowshoes up in Schenectady, New York, and I bought them, and they are now with a friend up in Schenectady, New York. But I don't want to spend the money to ship them, and that's like extra packaging, and it's just that's just too much. So if anybody up in Schenectady, New York can get the shoes from New York State to Pennsylvania, even northern Pennsylvania, like to Wellsboro, I want to eventually try to get these shoes to my house somehow. But I don't want to drive all the way up there, but I'll drive part way up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even know. How far is that from me? That's a while, isn't it?
That's a while for you.
Oh, yeah, I know where it's at. It's a hike.
It's a hike. But if somebody can get them, like, to the state line, somehow I think maybe we can figure this out. There might be somebody who can help me out and get the shoes from New York State at least closer, you know, maybe Finger Lakes region, something like that.
Well, yeah, good luck. That's like a fun challenge thing to get these things to your front door.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We gotta throw it out there. If it happens, it happens. If I have some backup plans, there's backup plans, but you know, if it happens. I'm determined to get them from New York to my house without paying like $800 for shipping, because that's just, even if I drive up there eventually myself, we're going to make this work. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So.
Well, good luck. I hope it does. Yeah. I don't know. Like, even them shipping is going to be the same if they ship here or whatever anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm throwing it out into the world. If there is somebody who can help me get these snowshoes from New York State to Pennsylvania State, and we'll figure it out from there. All right. Hey, I want to do a huge shout out to Trent Swanson and Gabe, the two race directors for Algonquin and the Duck, because they just do a great job with this race. It's so cool. The Algonquin 50K is also cool. And Trent has several other races under the Algonquin banner. And it's a really, really great trail running community down in Delmarva. So I encourage anybody to check them out.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Well, great job. Rest up. Thanks. Have a good week. Everybody else, have a good week. What do you have to, you want to tell everybody anything?
Like it, like the show and share it with your friends and say nice things or else we cry. And tune in every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And you're beautiful and amazing and you're super smart. Don't listen to what anybody else says. Just listen to me and you're awesome.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday for the Running Mullet number 103.
103, right. Coming at you soon.
Take us out, Grace. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you. I love you. Bye.